Matt and Joshua.
That's Father Francis.
Teresa.
Yes, Father Francis.
Joseph.
Yes, Father Francis.
Mary Ann.
Yes, Father Francis.
Angelica.
Yes, Father Francis.
Claire.
Yes, Father Francis.
James.
Yes, Father.
Mary.
No, Father Francis.
Alyssa.
Yes, Father Francis.
Karina.
Yes, Father Francis.
Adriel. Diego and Andrew, come up here. Come sit up here, okay? You're too far back. Diego, did you do the homework? And Liliana? Alex? Gregory? Nicholas? Andrew? Luke? Sophia? Abigail? She did it.
I'm not sure.
Jameson?
Yes, Father Francis.
Ada?
Yes, Father Francis.
Eleanor?
Yes, Father Francis.
Anyone who did not get called? You know, Father Stanley, our administrator, is on a kind of retreat. It's learning about how to be a pastor. So he's not here this week. I'm doing about two masses a day, two or three confessions a day. And we have a visiting priest. He used to be in this parish, and then he became a religious priest. Normally he's in Florida, but he's visiting his family, Father Timothy. So he's been doing generally the Latin Mass, okay, like for the Feast of St. Joseph last night. And it's good. In fact, I think it's this Sunday, we're gonna have four different priests say Mass here in our little parish. Where in this diocese, you have almost a half a priest per parish. Okay, so priests like coming here. I remember a priest, you know, asking Father Marks if they could help out here. So that's going on. Oh. My mom had a successful minor surgery on her two fingers. He's doing well. I can't think of anything all that newsworthy. Maybe I'll think of something later. Next week and the week after, we have a review. Today's class is kind of light, all right? But next week and the week after, that's heavy. Well, actually, it won't be so heavy because we're making it 2 weeks instead of one. All right, so it's going to be, we'll be done in probably less than an hour for both of those classes. And then we have the exam. Raise your hand if you have never taken an exam in my class. You've all taken the exam. We don't have to go through that, right? Maybe in a week or two, I'll go over how long you speak for your exam. But otherwise, you know what to do. Okay, so, and then at the end of this month, we'll have the Mass and party. And then I told you what I'm teaching for next week. I have a topic for every week next year for the academic year. I'm pretty set. It's pretty well organized. I've never been that far ahead. Normally, I wouldn't get that far until like July. So I'm pretty, I know you're excited about this topic. I'm also really excited. Okay. And it won't be that hard. I've taught this before. This is what I specialize in, you know, the Bible. So that's really the only announcement. Okay, let's stand and pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. I'm continuing to hear a lot of confessions. I'm continuing to hear, it wasn't just during Lent, Holy Week, but after this, you know, Easter season, I'm continuing to hear some, every once in a while, confessions of people who have been away for years, coming back to the church. Josie, look alive. Did you do the homework? No, you didn't do the homework. Okay. Well, it's been 2 weeks, right? Good. 2 weeks. Holy Week, Easter Week. We're back. You may be a little slow getting going again. Let's find out. Tell me what you learned from the last class 2 weeks ago. We have one lone hand, too. Oh my goodness. It almost was a lone ranger. Okay, Joseph, go ahead.
I learned in the church there are different norms, and some of these are that the priest must say the prayers aloud. And if there's like some condition that does not allow him to speak very loud, then he should at least do his best. And another norm is that...
He should at least what?
He should at least speak aloud at his best.
Okay.
And another norm in the church is that, like, the building should be decorated and furnished to the best of the laity's ability. Mm-hmm. And also, another norm is that there must be, like, positions for the laity, like, our ministries, like the lector, choir, and usher.
Lector, choir, and?
Usher.
Usher. Okay, good. Good. Okay, Ada?
The book on the altar is called the Roman Missal, but it is also called the Sacrament Tree.
Say that loud so we can all hear it.
I remember
you can turn around if you want.
I remember that the book on the altar is called the Roman Missal, but it is also called the Sacrament Tree. And it used to contain two books, the lectio and the...
Lectionary.
Lectionary has the readings for the Sacraments and the books.
Good. Did you all hear that? Okay. So what are the two books that are used at Mass?
The Lectionary and the Missal.
And the Missal, also called an S word. Sacramentary, right? The sacramentary is on the altar. It's what the priest uses. And then the lectionary is the one that has the readings. In the past, those two books were one book. That'd be a pretty heavy book, okay? That'd be one reason why he didn't want to have a lot of options. The book is already heavy. Don't make it any more heavy for these older priests, okay? So, now we have more options and two books instead of one. Angelica.
That every church should be decorated to the best
Yeah, that's quoted a lot. Oh, well, the Last Supper was not just in any room, but well furnished. You know, the right kind of table, the right kind of, kind of like sofas. You know, I don't think they used chairs back then. Okay, and everything you needed for the Passover. And big enough for the apostles. So, you know, our church should be big enough to hold everybody. That's getting harder to do. We're getting more people, huh? And well furnished. It has everything you need for Mass, for the sacraments. Okay, anything else? Not good, huh? Not good. So the rest of you didn't do the homework? You didn't? Only three of you told me something. Those in the back, you can't tell me anything? Teresa?
I learned that in 1988 there was an archbishop who wanted to consecrate some priests into bishops, and even though the Pope told him not to, he was greatly persuaded by the people, and he did it anyways. Eventually the Pope found out, and the archbishop...
Not eventually found out.
Or, well, he found out.
It happened.
It happened.
Yeah.
And the archbishop and the bishops, the priests that he
consecrated
were excommunicated, mm-hmm. and that became a schism. And the Pope at that time, Pope John Paul II, he put out a decree called Ecclesia Dei, and that was in response. And he also decreed a pontifical commission called Ecclesia Dei.
Mm-hmm.
And he put Cardinal Mayer in charge to enforce that. And a few years later, Cardinal Mayer said to the seminarians who were under Archbishop Lefebvre, who were going to become priests, he said that if they still wanted to be under the church, but also wanted the 1962 Mass, that they are allowed to form a community called the Fraternity of St. Peter.
Good. Good job. Last opportunity to make a good impression on Father, because you're not going to be able to do it next week or the week after. This is the last time. Okay, Father will remember this during the test. Father will remember. Okay. Oh, well, look who showed up. We hardly see you these days. Joseph and Peter, did you do the homework from way back when? Like 3 weeks ago? Okay, today's class, the future of the Mass. I'll give you my opinions. That's all they are. They're nothing more than opinions. You can take them or leave them. Okay, and then you can, if you want, tell me what you think the future of the Mass is going to be, or what you would like the future of the Mass to be. Again, it's your opinion. This is not church teaching. Okay. Yes. What? I'm going to tell you what I think first, and then you can. All right. Okay. I think this parish is a good role model of Vatican II. I don't think we're doing anything wrong liturgically. There's one thing that's questionable, and that's the sign of peace. We're supposed to have the sign of peace. We don't have the sign of peace. We don't like where the sign of peace is. I think we would do it if it was not during the second half of the Mass. Okay, it'd be good if we had it at the first half of the Mass like they did in the early church. St. Justin, in about 150 AD, he mentions having the sign of peace at the end of the first half of the Mass and the beginning of the second half of the Mass, the offertory. Okay, I think that's the place for the sign of peace. Yeah, I think it's good to have it, but not in the place where it is. Okay, I think that's a poor judgment, in my opinion. Okay. All right. So I think this parish should be the role model for how the Mass should be. I like that our church faces east. We didn't lose that 2,000-year tradition. And we have a basic idea why we face east. Most parishes could care less. They don't have a clue why you should face east. It's a sign of our times. We're just facing in all kinds of directions. We don't know where to face, you know. It's just like we don't know what the teaching of the church is. Maybe it's this, maybe it's this, maybe it's that. It's a sign of the times. I like that our church has the tabernacle in the center. You don't have to have it in the center. Our greatest church, St. Peter's, doesn't have the tabernacle in the center, and for good reason. For hours a day, there's tours. People from all over the world, all kinds of languages, coming into this church. Many of them are not Catholic. They may not be Christian. They may have no sense of religion. It could just be aesthetics, you know, art, you know, the artistic value of the church. And so they got these loud, you know, megaphones or whatever they got, and it's so distracting. It's hard to pray. So there's a side chapel. It's big. It can hold hundreds of people. And that's where the tabernacle is, and that's where people go to pray throughout the day. Okay, there's a religious community of sisters, and they have something going throughout the day. It could be rosary, it could be the divine office, it could be the Angelus, and they take turns, you know, two at a time, leading all that. Okay, so the tabernacle does not have to be in the center, but that's where it should be if, you know, all things being equal. Okay, we have it front and center. You can't miss it. It's not hiding like it used to be in our diocese. It was hard to find the tabernacle. You know, where is Jesus? You know, where do I genuflect? You don't know. Okay, that's hopefully going to change in our Diocese of Orange. I like it that the church is beautiful. It's uplifting. It's got beautiful statues, beautiful stained glass windows. You can use these in teaching about Saint Secondo, in teaching about Saint Anthony of Padua, in teaching about Our Lady of Fatima. Um, I like that we have an ambo that's high up. People here like it so they can see the priest. I'm more into it because it shows the greatness of God's word. We're looking up to God's word. I like that in the first half of the Mass, for most of it, not all of it, not the collects, but most of the Mass, or at least a lot of the first half of the Mass, the priest is facing the people. For the gospel, for the homily, you know, the Lord be with you. Okay. And in the second half of the Mass, I like it that we're all on the same page. We're all facing east. We're all together focusing on God. You have the priest in the front. You know, so you got God, you got the priest, you got the people. I like that. I think that's conducive to prayer. What's going on here in our parish, I would love to see happen in the other parishes. We all love the reverence. That's why people come to our parish. They love the reverence, the genuflecting, the kneeling, the communion rail. We use it, we kneel for communion, unless our knees are all wiped out and we can hardly bend them. Hurts too much to kneel. We have times for silence, like after communion. Thank you, Johnny, our music director. I like it that we are participating. I assume because you're in this parish, you're participating interiorly. And generally, we're participating externally. The 9 o'clock Mass, that's pretty vigorous. The voices, there's some pretty strong voices. And that helps carry, you know, the lay participation. So I like the participation, I like the silence. I am not really able to see what goes on at the 10:45 Latin Mass on Sunday because I'm in the confessional. I know Father Marks did not encourage participation verbally, outwardly, and some people don't like that ease there, and some of them in the past would quiet down people who want to participate. I think they should participate too, verbally. This is not just for the Novus Ordo. This is for the whole church. The whole church is to participate. We're body and soul, so act like it. We're not just a spirit. No, we're not angels. We have a body, we should participate with our body. I like it that we have bells at the elevation of the consecration, the elevation of the Eucharist. I like that we have patens. You gotta have patens. Most parishes don't. We have cases every once in a while. It happened recently, especially with people who have been away from Mass for years. They don't know what to do, and I mean it's even more confusing when they come here because it's not the norm. They don't know whether they're receiving the hand or the tongue, and they're not communicating what they want to the priest. The priest doesn't quite, as they're like, so what if, you know, what do you do? And so I'll put the host in their mouth and then it comes back out. It's on the paten. Well, that's good because it didn't go on the ground. In any other parish, that would be on the ground. Okay, so you got to have patents. It's not an option. You got to have a patent. Okay, so that's all reverence. If we were to have more reverence, I suggest, I'm not the pastor, I don't know if you've ever had it, but to do what we did a few days ago for the confirmation. We had confirmation here. The bishop was at a meeting in Sacramento with the other bishops locally. And so Monsignor Jerry Lopez did the confirmation. He confirmed about 21 young people. And before the gospel was read, I went to the altar where the book of the gospels was lying on the altar. I lifted it high so people could see it. I walked over to the high up ambo, the big one, with altar boys alongside of me. And I got up there. I incensed the book of the gospels. This should be really the book of the gospel. And then I proclaimed it. That's an added reverence for God's word. I think that would be good. If not every Sunday, then during the liturgical seasons, Advent, Christmas, Lent, Easter, to have that for Sunday. I personally am not into the old Mass, the 1962 Missal. I don't see why people think it's better. But I'm fine that we have it. Okay. And we do. We have that here generally twice a week. Saturday morning, Sunday morning, we have that, and people can come. So I think it's fine that we have both forms in our parish. What I like even more, probably more than almost anything else on here, our parish is getting the reputation around the diocese for hearing more confessions than any other parish. That's pretty sad. You know, in one hand we could boast, but on the other hand, that is really sad that the priests around us don't get it. They don't know the importance of the sacrament. They're not making it available for whatever reason. I don't know how you can come up with a good reason why you don't have it. I know there's a shortage of priests. Maybe that's one reason why. Okay. I am fine not only having confession before Mass, but even during Mass. And Vatican II is open to that. It says you can do that. You can have confession during Mass. We've talked about this. Priests who say don't mix sacraments, hey, that's pretty much hypocrisy. Because we all do. Confirmation that we just had, that was mixing sacraments. The Eucharist and the Sacrament of Confirmation. Same with matrimony. Yeah, the sacrament of matrimony and the Eucharist. Holy orders, becoming a deacon, a priest, a bishop, that's in the context of the Mass. Always, there's no exception. And this is like, you know, World War II, and you got 5 minutes to consecrate. And that's happened. Cardinal Menzenti did that in prison. He was in prison with seminarians, and they continued their studies in the Nazi prison, the communist prison, and then he ordained them. He ordained them priests in prison. They were ordained in prison. Okay, so I don't know if you're able to get a full Mass in there, you know, in that condition. But generally, almost always, you mix sacraments with holy orders. That's with the Eucharist. Okay. So we do it. On Easter, the Easter Vigil, boy, do we mix sacraments. You have baptism, you have confirmation, you have the Eucharist. You got three sacraments there. So we do it. So why would you leave out penance? There's no good reason. If that's your argument, don't mix sacraments, you got a pretty much an invalid argument. It doesn't work. Because we already do that. We already mix sacraments. Okay, so definitely things have to change in this diocese. Next year, what I'm thinking of, I'm not the pastor, but what I would like during Holy Week is to get one or two, maybe three religious priests who are good at hearing confessions to help out during Holy Week. Maybe get twice as many priests helping out, so the line will just be cut in half. Okay. You don't have to wait so long. Right. Because chances are there could be more people going to confession next year. They'll tell their friends, hey, you want to get to confession during Holy Week? Come to Kwasti. Generally, in your everyday parish, people don't have a clue that Vatican II, not pre-Vatican II, Vatican II strongly encourages Gregorian chant and polyphony. Where do you find that in parishes in a 50-mile radius except here? On a regular basis, practically every Sunday. This is Vatican II. Your liberals don't have a clue. They think that's pre-Vatican II. Well, they haven't read the documents. We saw this in a few documents, not just one isolated sentence, but we saw this in several documents. The importance of Gregorian chant and polyphony. And it encourages the languages of the cross to have Hebrew, like Alleluia and Amen, Amen, Hosanna, and to have Greek, Kyrie Eleison, to have Latin, the three languages of the cross. That's encouraged. Okay, it's not meant to be the exception. It's meant to be the norm. We have that here. Okay. And people feel safe coming to Mass here. We don't have liturgical abuse. We don't have homilies that are poisoned that are watered down. But generally they're enriching. They hopefully, you know, they're at helping you to live a better Catholic life. Okay. And as far as I know, we don't have priests who have an ego, who just have it all centered around them. The focus is God. They're there to serve. It's not about them, as far as I know. So these are reasons why I think our parish is a good model for how Mass should be in the future. I think we're ahead. Liberals who say we're behind the time, I'd say they need to get up to speed. They need to get up with the times, to get up with Vatican II. We're there. We're working on that, okay? We're a cut above. Okay, we're not behind the times, okay? For these reasons. And we do have lay people participating. We don't have altar girls, we don't have women lectors, but again, that's Vatican II. You only need those if you don't have men. If this was just, you know, only women, then you could have that. Okay. But we have lay involvement, we have ushers, lectors, altar servers. We have people patrolling the parking lot, people counting the collection, altar society. The janitor, you know, we take him for granted, but if we didn't have him, we wouldn't have a clean church, okay? Because it gets dirty real quick. Have you ever tried scraping wax off of marble? Okay, but wax is there on the marble floor regularly. And to get down on your knees when you weigh about 300 pounds and scrape that off, that's pretty hard to do, okay? So yeah, we have lay involvement. I don't know how you could add to that. Okay, what would I like to add or change? I mentioned the sign of peace. I'm open to intinction. That would be a novelty. I don't think we've ever had it in our parish. That's something I'm open to. If people are open to it, I would be if I was pastor. For me personally, I have been trying to get to know the Bible. I'm heavy on the Bible, but after this year of teaching on the Mass, I need to preach more on Vatican II. That's what I need to do. I need to preach more on Vatican II. I think that would enhance the Mass. Now, I'm really struggling with the two calendars. I don't know what to do. I think there should be one, but I don't know if that could happen. I don't like that there's Ascension Thursday in one form and Ascension Sunday in the other form. I think we got to be on the same page. Same with Corpus Christi. One calendar, in the Novus Ordo calendar, you had St. Catherine of Siena celebrated on the 29th of April, and then in the Old Mass, you have her celebrated on the 30th of April. Two different days. I would like us to have, you know, the saint celebrated on the same day in both forms. But I don't know how to work that out practically. It's to me, a problem that I don't know how to solve. Okay. And then one last thing. I've heard over the years people talking about having a reform of the reform. I've been thinking about that for the past few months. I've come to a strong opinion recently. I said it the other day at Mass. I disagree. Strongly disagree with having a reform of the reform. We haven't even carried out the reform. What makes you think we're ready for another one? We're quite a ways away from carrying out what Vatican II said. Like the one example I gave is Gregorian chant and polyphony. Where do you see that in the other parishes? It's not happening, but that's Vatican II. It takes a long time to carry out a reform. The Gregorian reform, that took hundreds of years to try to clean up simony and concubinage and other stuff going on. That took hundreds of years. We say Pope Gregory the Seventh, was it Hildebrand who became Pope Gregory the Seventh? We say he was a reformer, but it wasn't completely successful. It would take hundreds of years before it was a success. It was, you know, finally carried out. It's been over 50 years. We're not living the reform Vatican II called for. We went wacky after Vatican II. We went, in some ways, from one extreme to another, but we're not, and in some ways we have made improvement, but still we got a long ways to go. We're not ready for another reform. I don't think you can have another reform until you've lived out the reform that we've been called to live out. Okay? In general, but also specifically regarding the Mass. Okay? We need to live out the reform. Once we lived out the reform, we're ready for another one. But that's going to take a while, a long time. Okay? I would say our parish is part of that reform. But no, there's no need for a reform within the reform. Okay, so that's... I think we need to know what the reform is. We need to love that reform and then, you know, live out that reform. That's what we need to do. Okay, that's my opinion. And now Diego is going to stand up and lecture us on his opinion.
Your opinion was so long. I'm just saying, I hope in the future that everyone
Every parish will what?
Every parish will be like this parish.
Mm-hmm. Okay, anybody else? What you think will happen in the future, or what you would like to happen in the future regarding the Mass? Any ideas? Any thoughts? Mr. Shy, Bashful, and has nothing worth listening to. Joseph Esser.
Maybe the new parish should have like a class like this.
Yeah, you go around the country, from parish to parish. You'll be a missionary. Missionary of the Mass. Okay, we'll appoint you spokesman for the Vatican II Mass. Who else? Anybody else? Peter.
I know exactly what will happen. God's plan.
And what's that?
I don't know.
Oh. Okay. Anybody else? No opinions. Mary.
I hope that more parishes will be more strict on reverence when receiving the Eucharist.
Mm-hmm. As Vatican II says?
Yes.
Yes. Vatican II says, if you're going to receive in the hand, do it the way St. Cyril of Jerusalem said in the early church, right? Don't be grabbing. And when you get the Eucharist, to consume it right there, don't be bringing it back, putting it in your pocket or your purse. What do you think about having the chalice for communion? Having Eucharistic ministers or probably lay people holding the chalice with consecrated wine. Do you think that would be part of your idea about more reverence at Mass? Or you have something to say about that?
I was just gonna say that.
Maybe close that door. We got some wild Indians out there. I don't want any arrows shooting in this room. Ah. Go ahead. Before they attack us.
I just wanted to say that I hope that this church does intinction one day.
Yes? Have you ever had intinction? Okay. Any opinions on having the chalice, the option for the chalice at Mass? For it, against it, no strong opinion either way. As long as people are educated on it, you know, I think, you know, we could have that here. I don't know how many people would receive that way, but I think it wouldn't take much to educate people on that. The reason for not doing it is because you just eliminate any possibility of spilling. It's not likely, okay, but it could happen. I don't know about germs. I've never heard of a case where a person got sick specifically because they drank from the chalice. I don't know how you could prove that. But some people do get queasy knowing that they're the 100th person to drink from it, and they look at it and they see lipstick and slime and something crawling in there. So it could just make it hard to focus on the sacrament for some people. Some people, they could care less, you know, they're fine with germs. Okay. Anything else? Any thoughts? Teresa?
Maybe like more emphasis on modesty.
Yes.
That's tricky in our parish. We have a few. Well, first of all, okay, the main thing is we're right by the airport. And there's all these hotels around us. This is the closest parish to the airport. And it's not unusual on a weekend that we get people coming to our church for the first time. They're coming from the airport, or they heard they're visiting family out here, or some other reason that they just ended up here, you know, by accident. You got to get pretty lost in out here. Okay. And so they don't have a clue about the modesty. They've never seen our signs. And so to go after them and say, you know, you shouldn't be dressed like that, that's probably not a good approach. It'd be better to welcome them. I would say hospitality trumps modesty. Okay. Now, if someone is just routinely dressing immodestly, they know better, they come here regularly, they've seen the signs, they see how people dress, that's the problem. Okay. I'm not really in, I guess I would see it in half the people, you know, giving the Eucharist. But I don't see the problem. I don't preach on it. For Father Marx, it was like, you got to preach on, you know what, every month, you know, but I never did. I don't see immodesty as, if it is a problem, it's just a minor problem, and I think you just got to go to the individual. You don't have to give a whole homily on it. You just go to that one or two persons and talk to them about that this is offensive. Okay, why are you doing this? Is this to bring attention to yourself? Is this an ego trip? Is this, a fashion show for you? Or is God number one? You know, just challenge the person why they think they have to do this. You know, because it could be an occasion to sin. But generally, the immodesty, that's in the other parishes. And again, it's lack of education. The priests, see, if I was in another parish, I would speak about this. Okay? And probably get in trouble. This is safe, you know. But if I was to preach on it, it's like preaching to the choir. It's just a waste of time. Right. The preaching is done by your example. That sets the tone. So the priest can preach on something else. I've been preaching for 27 years. I'm still preaching on topics I never preached on before. Our faith is that rich. I'm still, in the past, 10 years? Let's see, when was it? This is my 10th year in a row, preaching every Sunday practically on a topic I've never preached on before, giving a homily I've never given before. 10 years of that. Usually priests repeat after 3 years. They save their homilies and just reread them. I don't save my homilies to do that. It's just like starting again, or starting with what I know, going from there. Okay, anything else? Not many opinions. Sophia, you have something to tell us.
That more people come to the church in the future?
To hear? Or any church?
Any church.
That more people come back to the church. I agree. Yeah, recently I heard a confession of someone who had been away for a long time. And he's going to make a big change. And trying to get his significant other to come to confession too.
Okay. How many years has he been away from the church?
Well, in the past few weeks, it's been several that have been away. Oh, you know, Holy Week, when we got a lot of people from other parishes, a lot of those were away for 1 year. That was typical. But then I've heard some who have been away 10 to 30 years coming back. Okay, isn't that good? That's wonderful. Okay, so things are kind of terrible out there in lots of ways, but there are lives being changed for the better. You don't hear about it in the mainstream news, but things, I mean, I hear beautiful things, conversion stories. Okay, anything else? Any last words? Madeline.
What does she say?
More rosaries during Mass?
No, like a special Mass for rosaries.
Okay, we're talking about the Mass. We're talking about opinions regarding Mass. Maybe a rosary after the Mass? We do that here, right? On the weekdays? You can't do that on Sunday because you got another Mass coming up. Okay. Especially during the Easter season when the Masses are going longer. You got just a few minutes to get out and the other people coming in before the next Mass starts. That's pretty tight. If you want to pray the rosary, do it in your car, you know, on the way home. Anything else? Going once, going twice. Okay, so next week we'll have the first half of the review, and then the second week we'll have the second half of the review. This class went for 1 hour. Hard to believe, huh? That it can happen in a Father Francis class. Miracles never cease. Let's stand up. And if you did the homework but you came late, come see me. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God, our Heavenly Father, help us to better know the Mass, to better love the Mass, to better live the Mass, to better teach the Mass. For your honor and glory and the salvation of souls, we ask this in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. They're not going to fit. So put them